Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your favorite weird food combination. Raven was out earlier this week, and Raven, Chef Plum, was in with me.
Okay.
And, you know, Plum is all about trying different things and weird things. And we asked you, what was your favorite strange food combination? How'd you come up with it, all that? And the phones were ringing off the hook about it.
I mean, it's not like I have one that I do regularly, but when I come across one, I like to try. I do like the sweet and salty thing.
Yeah.
You remember when I had that, what was it, watermelon, tequila, and sea salt? And the mint, I was blown away by that. I thought that was fantastic.
What we learned from all these calls was that people like bacon, and bacon pretty much goes with anything. That's what we learned.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of people that made suggestions that didn't make it to the air. And what we did is we recreated those dishes.
So these dishes, these combinations, they weren't like come up with by a chef or like a professional or like by the masses.
These
this
are
is an individual
our
that wrote in something.
Yeah. Try this first one. Here you go.
This is not a great idea. What is
okay. Please don't eat into the microphone because you know how that grosses people out.
Oreo and sour cream, I believe.
That's an Oreo dipped in sour cream. Somebody says it tastes like an Oreo cheesecake. You put the whole Oreo in your mouth? I feel like you're wasting. Why would you do that? Take 2 bites, 3 bites.
You
enjoy
think you're
it.
Going to get one of these Oreos from me?
I mean, are you going to eat all the Oreos in the sour cream?
I'm giving it another bite so that I give it a fair chance.
I feel like you like it. I mean, you ate two.
I'll say it's unnecessary. It's a great way to add about 400 calories to an Oreo that's already 800 calories.
Does it taste like an Oreo cheesecake, like they said?
Not a very good one, but okay.
The next thing we're going to try, bring it on over to Raven.
I mean, I need a palate cleanser. All right, what do we have here?
Take a bite. Tell me what you think it is, and then I'll tell you what it is. Did you dip it? You have to dip it.
Okay, hold on. That is a peanut butter sandwich with chili.
That is peanut butter and maple syrup sandwich dipped in chili. Somebody said it's the most delicious thing they've ever had. They make it all the time now.
Nope. I don't know how that happened to them in the first place.
Why do you look like you're ready to be sick?
I mean, it just seems like a waste of 3 delicious things all at once.
No?
Not even mentioning the bread.
Oh.
No, I don't care for that one.
All right,
Thank you.
Peanut butter, maple syrup sandwich dipped in chili, hard pass.
Comparatively speaking, the Oreo and sour cream is much better.
Let's go for what's next.
Mm. Okay.
You can pretty much see what this is.
Oh my gosh. This is nachos Doritos with cottage cheese.
That's right. Remember when I tried cottage cheese for the first time and I thought I was going to be sick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for the reminder. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Doritos dipped in cottage cheese. It's like you're getting something unhealthy and you're putting it with something healthy.
This is actually not bad.
No?
This is...
It's different or it's good?
It's not bad.
Okay. We have one last one.
I mean, on the list of terrible things that you've handed me so far.
All right, one last one to try.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is... is this just saltine and marshmallow?
And cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So we have saltine, marshmallows, and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to eat saltines because you choke on them.
It's hard to speak after.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Like it lives like cement in your mouth for a while.
That one's actually pretty good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who knew that cheese and marshmallows can go on a saltine? There you go. So 3 out of 4 ain't bad for things that were suggested by listeners for weird food combinations.
Trying to think if I could dip this in the cottage cheese and then somehow get the Dorito on top of the cracker.
Let's put it all in a bowl and just smash it together and see what happens.
No, let's not do that.
Okay. People do nasty things on planes, and I feel like you've been hearing a lot of plane stories lately, right?
Well, I'm not booking any flights right now anyways, but if you give me one more nasty story, then I'll just add to the pile. Go ahead.
Okay, so this isn't anything terrible happening, but I sat next to a woman on a plane. Now, Raven was out earlier this week. He wasn't feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
So you missed it in a meeting when I brought up how gross this was, because you're going to be floored by this. The woman next to me, right? First of all, she had no respect of personal space whatsoever.
Oh,
she was one
that
of those
person.
That's like, at one point, she was asleep on my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
My husband like took a picture of it because he couldn't believe it. The first thing she did, besides take a phone call on speaker mid-flight.
Oh my gosh.
She was every cliche you can imagine. She took off her shoes.
Oh God.
And she had on like First Communion socks. You ever see, you know what I'm talking about? Like the white socks that they go over on the top and they've got the little ruffle on the bottom.
Oh, the frill. They're like little girl socks.
Little girl socks, yeah. Right. So she had on First Communion socks, barefoot, on the plane, next to me, after she took a call, on speaker, head on my shoulder.
Wow.
Now, as we're having this conversation and telling everybody in the meeting, right? Producer Julie, welcome.
Oh, I know where this is going.
All right. Julie, what do you do on the plane?
I don't see a reason that it's wrong to take your shoes off on the plane. I really don't. Actually, mostly anywhere. I don't see a reason it's wrong to take off your shoes.
Anywhere, she says.
Walmart. Taking off your shoes?
See, all right. In a store or somewhere, I actually have to put my feet on the ground. That's one thing. But if I can take them off while I'm sitting, I don't see a problem with that.
Wait a minute. So this is about weight disbursement? I need to understand here because you're not keeping your feet suspended in the air while on a plane. As short as you are, there's not that much space between you and the seat in front of you.
Yes, but I have a shoe to put on after. Like,
no, but you're putting your feet on the carpeted floor of the plane.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems, I mean, I'm in there for a while. I do the same thing in the car when I'm not driving.
Yeah, but I'll it's your car.
Right.
Or somebody you know's car.
I feel like a plane is like one of those places where all social norms are out the window.
No, I disagree.
That's where they have to be put in place. That's where we need structure. Anna, how close of a friend do you have to be to take off your shoes in somebody else's car even?
Pretty
close.
A pretty good friend.
Pretty good friend. In a plane, we don't even know each other.
To me, it seems so strange when I see people take off their shoes on planes.
Listen, you may need to relax, and for plenty of people, it's anxiety relieving, but you can only take your feet out of your shoes if you're going to keep your feet on top of your shoes, which we all know is not a thing.
Well, I take them off here sometimes. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, gosh. Reagan actually asked the other day. If he could have a shoe rack here because he didn't want to get his white sneakers all messed up. And I said, absolutely not.
I think it's a great idea, actually. No. All right, you watch Mr. Rogers. He was ahead of his time.
I had a co-host that I was not a fan of many, many years ago. And he would do every show barefoot.
Yes!
And,
not in socks. Barefoot?
He would be barefoot. And it gave me the ick, like I
in
can't even tell you. Yes!
Is this the same carpet?
Yes!
This is a problem for me now.
You know who doesn't think this is a problem? Julie, you probably wear First Communion socks too.
You know it.
What does $300,000 buy you in every state? Well, I guess it comes as no surprise that it is massively different from state to state,
right?
Oh,
yeah. Depending on where you are, rural and urban and all those different areas, too. All that's going to have, you know, those are all factors.
On average across the country, it'll get you about a 1,500 square foot home. Unless you're in West Virginia, and then it'll buy you a 2,200 square foot home. But if you are in Arizona, California, New York, Connecticut, you get a tiny one bedroom. And if you're in Hawaii, 300 grand won't get you anything.
Yeah.
It says it'll get you a 50-foot long shipping container to live in.
When I lived in Boston, I actually almost moved to Hawaii after because the real estate in both areas was so high. It was like a lateral move.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? This is the time.
Yeah.
I'll make this move right now. That time's over.
But forget about buying your first home because the truth of the matter is for a lot of the younger generation, buying a home is really, really hard because everything is so expensive across the country.
Yeah, out of reach.
Yeah, Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, we were talking about this, you know, off the air. We were saying when you got your first place, like when you were a grown up out of your parents' house, renting or buying, whatever you did, how much was it and what was it? Because Julie, you're just going through this now for the very first time.
Yeah, no, I just got my first apartment and I pay over $2,000 a month,
which is
for a one bedroom.
Insane.
And you're by yourself.
I'm by myself. It's sickening to think about.
I just had this conversation with my babysitter because she's getting married and, you know, she's been saving so hard for so long.
Yeah.
And she's like, we can't find anything. And
it's
I'm like
they put things out of reach.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Not tangible at all.
Yeah.
I remember growing up in my family childhood home. My parents paid $68,000 for that house. Yeah,
my
in the
God.
80s. Yeah. And it was like a sign and walk away thing. Like basically you came in with like $20 and they were like, here's your house.
Yeah.
And then you were good, right? And I remember my first apartment, I shared it with maybe six girls. It was a 3-bedroom place in Raleigh and it was $675. For a 3-bedroom place. And I'm pretty sure the heat and hot water was included.
Are you kidding? Julie,
don't be mad at me.
So at the time, I was when I my husband and I had just finished college. I had just gotten a job at a radio station in New York City, and there was it was everything was expensive, and we were going to live in Westchester, which is a suburb in White Plains, and we were looking for a place in White Plains. There was a dingy basement apartment, one bedroom. I'm talking like there was the centipedes were running around.
Oh, gosh.
Large Marge would be the landlord. She wore a house coat and chain smoked cigarettes and like.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Inside, right?
And they wanted. Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah. I mean, back then.
She had six dogs, never cleaned the poop off the yard. There was no lights, so we would walk through it going in.
And you said, that's the one.
And it was the only thing we could afford. And I'll never forget it because they wanted $12.50 a month for it. And my husband and I, my boyfriend and I at the time, were like, that's crazy. And, you know, I was working at this radio station. I go, I'll give you M&M tickets if you bring it down to $11.50 a month. No. And they took it. Yeah. They took the deal.
That's nice. Right. Carry me across the threshold. We're here at our dream house.
Justin, your first place, what was it? How much was it?
Right out of college, I moved to Charleston, South Carolina. And
beautiful.
With a couple friends there. And I was working at a station down there. And the three of us, it was my buddy and his girlfriend at the time, and then me, we all moved down there together. And we had a two-bedroom apartment. They had one, I had the other. And combined rent for the three of us for this this two-bedroom place, and, you know, a very low cost of living area in the first place, $450.
Oh, my God.
I'd pay $150 a month.
Probably like an old colonial place, haunted. But, you know, still.
No, it was an apartment complex.
I'm
it was a huge complex.
Sweat.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Your first place, where was it? How much was it? And, you know, was it haunted? Think about where you live right now. How much house does $300,000 get you?
Mm.
Some places it'll get you a 2,200 square foot home. Some places it'll get you a shipping container to live in.
Yeah, it'll get me less than the house that I'm in right now.
Yeah,
half of it. Basically.
And for a lot of young people who are looking to be first-time buyers, it has put them out of reach.
Yeah.
And it makes us think about the first place you ever moved into, whether you rented it or you bought it, like right out of your parents' house. What did you get? How much was it? And was it any good? Kimo, tell us about your first place.
Well, actually, it was a one-family house.
Yeah.
Two bedrooms. It was 140, and that was in 2000.
Wait a minute. So you bought a house for 140?
Yeah.
Okay, so you never rented. You're right out the gate, your first place out on your own, you guys bought a house.
Yes.
Yeah, two bedrooms for 140.
Sold it 5 years later for $100,000 profit, and then we did the same thing again.
Nice.
The prices of houses have just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got really lucky. See, I did the opposite. I
right.
bought at the height of the market, like a complete fool.
Well, you needed a place to live.
We needed a place. It's true.
Yeah.
And then we ended
sold
up,
at the bottom.
We sold at the bottom.
Yeah.
10 years later for a $40,000 loss.
Yeah,
that was good.
Ten years later.
Yeah, for a $40,000 loss.
I got it in a good market because you'll never see those numbers again.
Yeah,
and,
no.
And if you do sell for a profit, it's like, where do you go from there? You know, that's the dilemma.
I could have been a farmer, guys, by the way. I had a chance to buy a farm. Never again. Could have been a farmer.
Man, that would have been good.
Yeah, would have been. No, never going to happen now.
Samantha, you first moved out of your childhood home into your first place on your own. How much did it cost, and what did it look like? Where did you live?
It was in Decatur, Georgia, and it was, I think, $675 a month, but that was split rent. I obviously had a roommate. It was nice. It was a two-bedroom, two-bath, but, like, nothing special, you know? Had a little patio on our little first-floor apartment in a complex in Decatur.
But it was nice. Like, you thought it was a good place.
Yeah. I mean, especially for my first place outside of my parents, you know, finding a good roommate in a decent location. I was satisfied, at least.
I feel like nobody ever thinks the first place they live out on their own is a good place. Like, our place was a dump. It was such a dump. So that's got to be good to be able to say, like, yeah, it was great rent. It was nice, safe.
You're usually trading one thing, right? Like, if it's not a dumpy place, it's a dumpy neighborhood, or it's this, or it's that, or it's too far away. That's always a big one. Distance is a big one. So it usually feels like there's a trade-off. When you get one that you're happy with in all forms, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we did actually keep losing our packages, now that you mention it. There were some drawbacks.
That's all right. Derek, the first place you moved out of when you were a grown-up, how much did it cost? What did it look like? Where'd you live?
Well, I didn't know how good of a place it was until, you don't realize this is 2000 and 8, 9. And we had a 3-bedroom apartment in the park, uptown Manhattan, for $900.
What?
And I remember we ended up having to get rid of it because they wanted to raise it to $1,200. Mind you, now that exact same apartment is over $4,000.
Can't even imagine.
I'm sure.
To been able to live in, at the time, that was too much money, right? You felt like that was an astronomical amount of money.
Well because it was me and a friend, and we had a spare bedroom. So we was like, all right, we'll split it for $900. It's $450, $450, and then we split utilities. And that seemed reasonable at that time. But when we were like, okay, we're going to spend $600 a piece just to have this place and not have that bedroom used. He didn't want to make the hurdle, and I was able to have the place by myself. But like in hindsight, I mean, what I pay now is ridiculous for a fraction of the size of what that was. That, I mean, even if today I would have been maybe rent controlled and paying like $3,000 or even the $4,000 that it probably is, I probably would have lucked out. And
you
kept
can tell
that
it haunts you.
Right.
Yeah.
It haunts him.
If you could make your dog live longer, would you? Because very soon, you might be able to do just that. Trending is brought to you by this Progressive ad, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big with Progressive. This has been a Progressive ad from Progressive. See if you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. Raven, starting next year, this is going to be available.
Soon, you might be able to help extend the life of your furry friend. A San Francisco biotech company said it has developed an anti-aging pill for dogs. It can be prescribed for canines 10 years or older that weigh more than 14 pounds. The FDA certified the daily pill.
And yeah, that's it. It's
wow.
All happening.
That's one of my dogs. It's not the other one. We're going to have to beef him up a little bit.
Yeah, just get him some fat.
Going to have to get heavier.
You know, it's funny because when I first heard this, I was like, I don't know if I want to play with the dog's genetics, but I've been doing a lot of research on it. There's actually two companies.
Okay.
There might be more, but there's these two big companies that are kind of in the news a lot about it.
That are working on anti-aging?
Anti-aging
right.
For dogs.
So this excludes any cloning or anything like that?
No. This is just how to keep them from, you know, having longer lives, essentially. Because I have mixed feelings about messing with things like that. Because, you know, this has been in the news for humans, too. There's all these crazy billionaires that are doing these procedures to elongate their lives, and now we're going to do it for the dogs. But what they found is that if one company found that by doing this, the pill that's going to be FDA approved is essentially 95% is metabolic, what we're putting in their bodies, right? So if we're adjusting what we're putting in their bodies and giving them this medicine, they'll be able to live at minimum 1 year more. So it's not like your dog's living for 15 extra years. You know, it's not a parrot.
Right,
your parrot's
like a supplement then at that point, right? Like, and I'm sure case by case, there's differences in things that can happen too, depending on the type of dog and all that. Yeah.
But they also said that there's another company, and it's called the Dog Aging Process, and they've been doing a lot of research, and they're working on this medicine that it helps with their liver function.
Okay.
And it can elongate a dog's life by 3 years. Now, that one's not approved yet, like the other one is, with the minimum of 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And they say the biggest factors in your dog's lifespan is their size. So bigger dogs tend to age faster than smaller dogs do, which is probably why this is for dogs over 14 pounds. Mixed breeds have a longer life expectancy. And they're saying, too, is that obviously if your dog is overweight, not only is it a higher risk of dementia, but they're also a higher risk for early death.
Yeah, there'll be other neurological issues, too, that can arise as a dog age. And listen, you don't want to play with genetics. Nobody wants to play God here. But you'd like to keep your companion as healthy as you can long enough. There's no need to clone dogs, by the way. Adopt, don't shop. There's plenty of dogs out there that need a home.
How often do you feed your dogs?
We feed them twice a day.
The research shows, and I feed my dog twice a day, too, in the morning and at night, that dogs that are fed once a day live longer and are healthier.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I was like, Lila's going to be very upset.
Yeah. I got one dog that would not stand for it. The other dog would probably go for it.
I'm curious to see how this pans out because it's science coming to life right in front of our face. And it's like, is it actually going to work? Would people, and how much is it going to cost, obviously? That's like the big question, too.
And what's the side effect that we can't see coming?
Exactly. So I guess we just see what happens. As of 1 week ago, the average price for a dozen eggs across the nation was $8.07.
It's high.
It's the highest, I think, ever in the history.
Yeah, it's and, up there. I saw, like, organics for, like, $19.
Oh, my God. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, what's crazy to me is when you go into the grocery store and the shelves are almost bare. And it's, they're not even able to get them.
Mm.
So we spoke to an expert who said the best way to save money on your eggs is forget the wherever grocery store you're loyal to.
Right, no.
Just buy the cheapest you can find anywhere you go.
No brand loyalty, no store loyalty. Just seek out the cheapest eggs and then buy them. And then buy them in bulk if you can.
Well, the problem is the bulk. So people are buying in bulk, which has raised the entire internet searching, how do you elongate your egg's shelf life?
Okay.
Because now you've got like the palette of eggs.
Right.
And if you don't work in a bakery, you're not making 7,000 cookies a day. You don't really need all those eggs at once. And they do have an expiration date, which FYI, for years, I didn't know. And I never realized it.
Right. You don't respect expiration dates. Neither do I. Neither of us do.
No, but I didn't even know.
We're still alive.
Finally, one day I caught my eye, the expiration date, and I Googled it. I'm like, oh my gosh, who knows how old these eggs are? It says it expired here 2 months ago.
You could have actually ate a chicken. You don't know.
So this woman has gone viral because she's been talking about how you can extend the shelf life of your eggs.
Mm. What we want to do is store eggs in the coolest and driest place and darkest place of the fridge.
So back
that
here.
Would be middle shelf in the back.
Oh. Middle shelf in the back is where you're supposed to put your eggs so they last the longest.
Why darkest?
I don't know. They breed in the dark? I have no idea. Yeah. Then there's
much like humans.
Right. I guess so.
I mean.
And then she goes on to say,
did you know you can freeze eggs,
what?
But never in the shell? You separate the yolk from the white. Now, what you want to do here is to add just a pinch of salt,
okay,
to the yolk.
No.
And that is going to maintain the texture for up to 4 months in the freezer.
Listen.
No, thank you. I'll just give up eggs.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, because now people are getting crazy because all these people are going viral for how they freeze and elongate the shelf life of their eggs.
Sure.
I go, in what world am I separating yolks from the whites?
I don't even want to eat that. What if I came over to your house and you were like, hey, how about some breakfast? And you pulled that out of the freezer and I'd be like, what is that?
Did
I don't want that.
Did you separate these? Yes. Yes, I did. Well,
did you add a teaspoon of salt?
There's also this woman. She's got a great idea on what to do to make your eggs last longer.
Okay.
Before this, you are going to need your eggs, of course, jars, water, and calcium hydroxide or pickling lime.
What?
Just mix the water and calcium hydroxide together and pour it over your eggs and make sure that there is no egg sticking above the water level. Add your lid and these will be shelf stable for up to 18 months.
I have friends that, I've got one friend, Jim, last time we were out, as a matter of fact, all right, when he gets drinking, he wants the pickled eggs. They have them at a bar. You know, they have them at bars. I would never eat the pickled eggs. There's no part of me that wants any part of it. But I will say this. My wife has started putting our grapes in mason jars. They last for like a month.
That is a good trick,
it's
the mason jars.
It's crazy.
Yeah, my mom swears by that, and she's kind of right. But I don't even understand what this
is.
Of course,
jars, water, and calcium hydroxide.
Calcium? What is calcium? Am I
dumb? I don't know. Don't drink it.
I don't know what that is. But it makes them last 18 months? And then...
So the process for this is really simple and only needs two ingredients, boiled eggs and miso paste.
What?
I'm going to completely cover the eggs in the paste. Then once the eggs are covered, I'll put them in the fridge. That's it.
I also don't know what miso paste is.
These people are nuts.
I mean, there's so many ways to elongate the shelf life of your eggs, including this.
The best way to make eggs last is by freeze drying them. But for that, you unsurprisingly need a freeze dryer.
Yeah.
These can cost around $1,000.
No, I'm out. I'm out.
You need like Michael Jackson's hyperbaric chamber.
For the $8 eggs, I'm going to pay $1,000 for this freeze dryer.
Just give up eggs.
That's it. Forget it.
We'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
More eggs.
If you were given the opportunity to travel to space, who would you get an okay from before you said, yep, put me on the spaceship? Trending is powered by Cricket. Need a new phone? Switch to Cricket and get a Samsung Galaxy A15 5G for free. It's all the latest and greatest tech plus super fast 5G service. Welcome to Cricket Nation. It's an all-woman crew going to space. Who's on board?
Gail King, part of a Blue Origin journey with an all-female crew. Soaring alongside her, superstar Katy Perry. Philanthropist Lauren Sanchez, aerospace engineer Aisha Bow, civil rights activist Amanda Nguyen, and film producer Carrie Ann Flynn.
So Blue Origin, this is Jeff Bezos' thing, so that explains why Lauren Sanchez is there. That's his fiance.
Sure.
I was thinking about it. And I don't know why I immediately became terrified. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well.
And then Gayle King was talking about it, and it was exactly how I would feel.
I have to tell you, I'm so afraid.
Stop, Gayle.
I am. I'm so afraid, but I'm also so excited about it. When they asked me, and they asked me around Thanksgiving, I was like, no. Then I started thinking about it. I met with favorite daughter Kirby, favorite son Will, Oprah. That's my kitchen cabinet. They will all be there that day with their spouses. And I just thought, what a unique opportunity.
If you had a
Oprah's coming down too, just for friend support. Well, she's gonna be over there hanging out in wings.
I think it's interesting that she went to her kids and Oprah to say, is it okay if I go? Those were the people she had to check with. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, if I was offered to fly to space,
yeah,
who would have to give the thumbs up? And I was like, well, it would have to be my husband. It would have to be my kids. And because I know they would all say yes. If I had asked my mom would be like, absolutely not. There's no world where you're going to space.
Well, listen, I mean, I think it's the ultimate endorsement of the rocket, right? When you're sending your wife and you're sending these prominent people. Let's not forget, though, they've sent some other prominent people, but some more fringe people or more people that, you know, see themselves as explorers willing to take that risk to go to space. So
only 60 people have done this.
I am all about, only 60 people have done this with Blue Origin.
Correct.
So what I would say is I'm all about anything that encourages people to continue the exploration of space in any way, shape, or form. Low orbit, high orbit, wherever we might go.
I was thinking about it. Would you go? If you got that call from Jeff Bezos, would you actually go?
You know me. You know the answer is I would go. And I don't think I'd ask permission. Sorry, honey. My wife already knows what my answer would be. She would not want me to go. She has said aloud, you're not going to space.
I would be just like Gayle King. I would be like, I would cry.
Yeah.
I would not want to go. I would hyperventilate. It's like when I jumped off the building for charity.
But that's what I'm saying. But
I would just do it. I would just do it. Yeah.
You've done it. And, you know, you felt better having done it after you did it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all about the human experience.
Katy Perry, too.
Pretty cool.
Interesting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Also trending in the news, there was a big trailer release that got a lot of people excited, including my daughters.
Hey, Magic Mirror. Who's the fairest of them all?
Why, Shrek, of course.
Ah! Ew, Dad.
Ooh, Mom and Light.
Who's making this stuff?
Not me!
Oh, I love it. Shrek is back, and in the trailer, he's hot. I was like, why is Shrek hot? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Onions have layers. Ogres have layers.
Some of those layers are hot, Anna.
Yeah.
You get it. We both have layers.
Yep, some of those ogres are hot.
But the big announcement that it got everybody was like, well, who's going to be in Shrek 5?
Shrek 5. Starring Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and Zendaya? Oh, damn. Only in theaters. Christmas 2026.
Count me in. Absolutely. I'm there.
Big, big score.
Get ready to learn something. This is so true, and I 100% agree with this lady. So when you think about taking your temperature, you've grown up your whole life thinking that 98.6 is the average temperature, right?
Yeah, that's where you want to be, roundabout, right?
Right. Raven, Julie, Justin, I don't know if you guys know this, but listen.
Did you know that the idea that 98.6 being the normal temperature for an average human being was from a study that was done in 1860 using 25,000 people in Germany?
This lady is sick.
Okay, well, I was going to say, wait a minute. Why does this woman sound like she's dying?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we're going to her as the authority on this.
But it was from Germany in the 1800s.
Okay.
That's what they did it. And how did they figure out 98.6? Mm.
And the doctor who came up with it just averaged it together and said, okay, our temperature should be 98.6. But recent studies have revealed that our average temperature, with hundreds of thousands of people being studied, is actually closer to 97.9.
This makes me feel so much better, because whenever I take my temperature, that's what it is. It's always 97 something.
Why not wait a week to make that video?
Right.
Why not do that?
Her temperature was not.
Because she was feeling passionate about it right then.
Okay, but
listen,
I mean,
to how passionate she is.
But our temperature, average temperature, does seem to be going down.
Hers is
97.9.
She's so sick.
I feel for her, man. Let's get her some medication.
She makes a great point, because what's considered a fever? And as a mom, I remember pediatricians telling me this all the time. 100.
Yeah, anything over 100. Like 101, definitely, you're like, whoa.
Right. And her argument is that she's so sick, right? But she has a temperature of like 99.1, which is not considered a fever. She is. Yeah. She's sick because that's how sick she is.
So did she do this whole video because she was sick and she wanted a good excuse for work?
I don't know. That's maybe.
Okay.
It probably worked.
All right. Yeah. So what are we doing?
All right. So I brought in here my handy thermometer.
Yep.
It's one of those little handguns that you shoot at people's heads and it tells you their temperature.
Sure.
I'm going to go around the room.
Yep.
You tell me how you feel right now. And then I'm going to see what the temperature is. And we'll see from the four of us, our own scientific, what the average is. Okay.
Well, I mean, I haven't felt good this week. So this is a good experiment.
Stay
right
away,
here.
Please.
All right.
Thank you.
Justin, how do you feel right now?
I feel the same as always. I feel amazing.
Look directly at me.
He's looking directly at her. It's
98.0.
Almost creepy.
That's like almost perfect.
Okay.
98.0.
All right. Thank you.
Julie, yes. How do you feel right now?
I feel cold because it's always cold in here.
98.3.
I'm warmer than Justin.
Yes, yeah. You are.
Well,
see, it's all things being relative how you feel, right?
Somebody writing this down? She's winning.
I mean, it's only two numbers so far. I think we can remember.
Okay. Three, yeah. Yeah.
Raven, how do you feel right now?
I mean, I feel like death, like I always feel.
98.0.
98.0. I'm perfectly
Anna,
well.
But what is Anna?
Okay, that's hold on. And right. Me?
She has like a fever.
Let me see.
Anna, look directly at me. 98.0. What?
98.0.
Wow.
Right.
I'm the hottest one in the room.
All right. All right. So what have we learned from our scientific experiment?
Not much.
Not any of us are 98.6, which is considered the average. We're all below it. So this lady's right. The new average should be 98.
Well, let's just get her a lozenge or something. Something to soothe that throat. Yeah.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
It doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or your kids have four legs and are furry or you're just dealing with crazy coworkers. We get it. It's not easy to get through the week, and this is your chance to vent. What did you do this week to earn your margarita or whatever is going to fill your cup this weekend?
I rode the bus.
Like which bus? Just any bus?
It was a local city bus. It was a bit rough. I'd never ridden one before, and well, I was on the phone with my mom while I was waiting for the bus, and the bus appeared to be late, which was convenient because I was talking to her. And so I got on the bus, and then I realized that the reason why the bus was late is because I was waiting for a bus in the wrong direction.
Oh.
By the time I figured it out, I was able to get off like at a train station. So then I was able to take a train where I needed to go, but it would have been more efficient had I taken the right bus.
Clearly, you hadn't gone in the other direction, the wrong direction, for 10 to 15 minutes on a motorized vehicle. I've been there. I'm the same guy. I do this at the train stations all the time. I get on going the wrong way.
Anytime you do something new, it's a little bit jarring. So I'll give you some credit for that. It's hard to do something for the first time and learning how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an engineer, you know.
Kayla, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
This week, we had a big fundraiser at my daughter's school. We did a showcase, and as you might be able to tell by my voice, I'm pretty nervous public speaking, let alone singing. A bunch of us moms grouped up and actually did a Taylor Swift anti-hero parody. So I'm going to have my team back in the house with me, I'm sure, giving me the cold shoulder. So before she gets home, I'm looking forward to downing a margarita. But I'm just really proud of myself. It went over really well, at least among the other parents.
Can I ask for you to do some of the parody?
Sure, I guess.
All right, go for it.
You started my margarita.
Go for it. You got it, girl.
Okay. It's me. Hi. I'm your parent, it's me. At one time, you proclaimed you love me. Staring at you is like staring directly in a mirror. It sure gets exhausting. Just we just kind of like pulled it out in each of those.
Very nice.
We each did each of the verses.
I feel awkward not clapping.
Congratulations, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Erica, what'd you do to earn your margarita?
I organized an entire family reunion with 120 people coming from all over the country, and they're coming to me, and I made food arrangements, location arrangements, hotel arrangements, the whole shebang.
That's all. Do people do family reunions anymore?
I mean, I'd hire somebody for that, right? Like I haven't had one. I was thinking about, like, you know, us trying to put one together, but to have people traveling from all over the place, 100 people traveling, 100 plus, oh my gosh, and have to be dealing with that, that's a lot.
I would be like you too. I would want to plan that myself, something like that. I remember you would always see family reunions on social media and people posting pictures. I haven't seen anybody post a picture of a family reunion in a long time.
We got rid of families.
We got rid of family reunions.
Bye.
Bye. No more.
Can't agree on things.
Don't want to see you next month.
Right. Okay? Pandemic exposed us to the fact that we don't actually like each other.
Yeah. Barbecues are dumb. Right. You certainly earned your margarita. You enjoy it.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Cricket. Switch to Cricket and get 4 lines for $25 a month each. It's a family plan. It's a friends plan. It's a whoever you want to share with plan. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Liam and Maggie. Maggie, what's going on?
Our daughter, who is turning 10, she wants to have her birthday party, you know, with all of her little friends. And they want to go to Sephora, get their makeup done, go out for some lunch. And I just think this is a really great way for them to, you know, have fun together. And lots of the kids around in our neighborhood and the school are doing that kind of thing. So that's what she wants to do. But Liam does not agree.
I'm sorry. Your daughter wants to go to Sephora for the party and then lunch after. So she takes a bunch of her girlfriends. You go to Sephora, then you go to lunch.
Yeah, exactly, with their little friends for their birthday.
What do you do? So she's 10 years old. What do you do at Sephora when you're 10? I know there's a whole generation of, you know, that's what they want.
The little girls, they want to do their makeup anyway. They're sharing makeup. They're putting makeup on. They're trying different looks. And I feel like if we go to Sephora, then at least we know it's clean. They're not sharing brushes. They're not spreading, you know, colds and infections and stuff like that around. They're going to want to put makeup on anyway. You know how little girls are.
So it's a makeover, basically, for 10-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Liam, let me guess. What's your problem with this?
I mean, I think it's a pretty obvious problem. She's 10 years old. I get, you know, girls are going to wear makeup, but she has so much time before that has to be a thing. I feel like we have one, maybe two more birthdays where we get to actually do some children-like things, you know? And I feel like we're rushing this moment. That's going to happen regardless.
So let me just ask a question here. Are you guys, so she's not wearing makeup yet. This is something that you've discussed with her, though? Is this something that you're going to allow after her 10th birthday, Maggie? Or is she wearing makeup now?
Well, we say that she's not supposed to wear makeup, but I know that she is. I know she's borrowing it from her little friends or whatever, putting it on when she gets to school or when she gets to a party. Like, you can tell that, you know, she had makeup on. I can tell she's trying makeup.
Well, Liam, is the problem you have with the makeup, or is it just the fact that she wants to have it at Sephora? Like, what happened to trampoline parks? And
The Sephora thing is, in my mind, I'm mentally preparing that we're going to have a Sephora-type party at some point, of course. I'm just saying that I don't want this particular weird beauty standard. I love my wife for not wearing makeup. I tell her this all the time. I think she looks beautiful in the morning. I think she looks better without makeup. And I don't want my child to have this outside perspective of what she thinks looks good, especially at the age of 10. Whatever makeup she puts on now, in borderline, she looks like she's just playing around like a clown or something like that. It's not like she's really trying to impress people.
I mean,
and I don't want us to have that.
Wouldn't that be the point, though, of going to a place like Sephora? Is you're learning professionally how to apply these type of things. On the other hand, I share your thoughts that she's 10 years old. I don't know what the appropriate age is. You got to talk to the other parents if that's what you're going to do. You know what I mean? If you're going to take a bunch of 10-year-old girls to get makeovers, like, I might have a problem with that if my daughter was going to that party and I wasn't informed of that.
It's such a thing, though, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be informed. You have to bring the child there. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Well, right. Like, am I dropping my kid off at the makeup place, though? Because I better know.
They're going to know. You're going to tell the parents where you're going, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Let's see what the audience has to say. 10 years old for a makeup birthday party? Would you be cool with that?
It's the Couples Court.
Ten-year-old's birthday party at Sephora. That's exactly what Maggie and Liam's daughter wants. She says she wants to bring about 6 friends. Mm. They would do the makeup application and they would go out to lunch. And Maggie doesn't see what the big deal is. All the kids have been obsessed with the the skincare and all that. What, this is what she wants to do? What's the big deal?
I don't think anybody's shocked by Liam's reaction here, right? He's a dad. He says she's 10. This is unnecessary. It just seems like we're speeding things up here on this. You know, I didn't realize quite a big deal. I don't have a little girl in my household.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know,
no,
it's not something
huge.
I'm dealing with. But I saw somebody make a joke about doing pickup at Sephora.
Oh, no. If you
just
go
like
to Sephora
right
and you
now.
Go to Ulta and you go to any of those stores,
it's full.
Of tweens.
Full of tweens right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been the norm for over a year at this point.
Wow.
So what do you think, though? Would you let your daughter have a 10-year-old make a birthday party? Khaleesi, what do you think?
As an 11-year-old, I think the kids should be able to wear makeup. I'm not allowed to wear makeup, and that definitely gets me upset.
I can understand, Khaleesi. It's very frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. I have eyeshadow palette. Yeah. Brushes, and the only thing I'm allowed to wear is my blush and lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to wear lipstick on my mom's side, but not on my dad's side, which definitely gets me mad too.
Right, no. I get it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Khaleesi.
Thank you for sharing, Khaleesi. Have a good day
at
school,
course.
Okay?
Bye.
Bye, honey. If your 10-year-old wanted to have her birthday party with six of her friends at Sephora for makeup application, would you have a problem with that?
Mm.
The couple's court verdict is powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies come in. New features that have the potential to save lives. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA.
I think it sounds on the surface like, you know, like Maggie might be a little bit of a villain, or she's definitely not the way that you're thinking. But, you know, the pressure from your daughter can be something quite strong, right? And, you know, as you said, Anna, plenty of tweens are doing this right now. They're getting makeup. That doesn't say that it's right or wrong. She says, I know the girls are sneaking some makeup. I know that they're trying these things that are not around. Wouldn't it be fun to have a party where the girls go to Sephora and they learn how to do it the right way with right products and stuff like that? But Liam says, nope.
Right. He's like, you know, he's doing dad. He's saying, she's 10 years old. We're not going to Sephora. Go to the trampoline park like all the other kids do. What are you doing?
Do something else.
What do you think? Mary, whose side are you on?
I side with the father. I don't think a 10-year-old should be going out and having a birthday party and wearing makeup. She has plenty of time for that. Maybe do like something more kid-like, friendly. Go maybe to like get their nails done or something.
Ben, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. I have a problem with us parents today trying to make society tell us how to rear our children. We are the parents. We should set the rules and examples. That young lady is 10. She has her whole life ahead of her. And just because the kids in the neighborhood are doing it, there's no reason for her to do it. This is the moment where they teach her life lesson. Not everything you see done outside, you should want to do it. All the kids are jumping off the bridge. Would you let her go ahead and do it too?
Well, Anna has answered that question many times to her father.
Yeah.
And yes, she would definitely possibly do it.
Yeah, I would do it. If there was a bridge and my friends are jumping off it, I would jump off the bridge. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not a good example. But thank you very much, Ben.
Have a great day. Molly, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the dad's side. I'm also a younger caller. I'm 17, and I say it's too young. Like, even though it's makeup, like let her have her childhood while she can. Like, don't rush things. Same with the skincare. Like, I feel a lot of stuff that kids don't need. Like, they're barely even going through puberty yet.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Liam, our audience agreed with you. 10 years old, having a makeup birthday party, people were not on board with it.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, I love my daughter, and I know she's going to be putting makeup on eventually. She wants to sneak it around. That's fine, you know, but I feel like we have to have some sort of strong foundation at home.
You know, I mean, again, I'll just come back to the fact that I think it's a decision you make in your house alone for your daughter. And when you guys make that decision, that's fine. The party, while it might be fun for the girls, it puts some other kids in tough spots, I think. Maggie, it's a conversation. You're just going to have to tell her no. It's still a no for now.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. Oh. I mean, I see where you're coming from.
That's what I say to my husband when I'm going to win later. All right, if you have a problem too, you can send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$8,000 is the Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot. Please let this be a winner today.
Cut off.
Hi, Elvis. You want to play?
Hi, yes.
Okay, we've got so much money on the line. I want to give it to you. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Elvis, I feel like we've done this before. $8,000. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
So Raven is walking out of here. That big door is going to close. Once it closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do it?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Number one, Survivor Season 48 is underway with its premiere this past week. Where is it taking place?
Hawaii.
Number two, Conan O'Brien is hosting the Oscars this weekend and says there will be surprises. Who did he replace as host on The Tonight Show?
I don't know.
Number three, a woman somehow bought Carrie Bradshaw's dress at Goodwill for $18.99. It's famously created by what designer?
Gucci.
Number four, there's been a surge in fantasy book sales with new titles like Onyx Storm going viral. One of the original fantasy classics is Alice's Adventure in Wonderland. Who wrote that?
I don't know that one.
And number five, who joined Kyle Kelsey's podcast yesterday to make a huge announcement that she's pregnant with her third child?
Wow. These are hard questions. I don't even know that one.
All right. Let's go, Raven. Let's go. 0 for Elvis.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry, wrong Elvis.
Not going to happen today.
I thought I had played the king.
All right. You thought Elvis Presley was on the line?
No, the king.
Number one, Survivor Season 48 is underway with its premiere this past week. Where is it taking place?
Fiji. Same place as always
does. It's been in Fiji for the last 16 seasons.
But that's the thing is, you know what? I never watched it before that. So for me, it's always Fiji. Right. I only realized yesterday when they were quoting about like some game in Amazon that I was like, oh, well, that would make sense that they moved it from time to time.
Yeah, they have a tax break for doing it there. That's why they do it there. Number two, Conan O'Brien is hosting the Oscars this weekend and says there will be surprises. Who did he replace as host on The Tonight Show?
Jay Leno.
That's right. Number three, a woman somehow bought Carrie Bradshaw's wedding dress at Goodwill for $18.99. The famous wedding dress that she wore in Sex and the City. It's famously created by what designer?
I was just going to take a shot and say Vera Wang.
Vera Wang, yes.
Wow!
Number four, there's been a surge in fantasy book sales with new titles like Onyx Storm going viral. One of the original fantasy classics is Alice's Adventure in Wonderland. Who wrote that?
Stephen King, obviously.
Lewis Carroll. Number five, who joined Kylie Kelsey's podcast yesterday to make a huge announcement that she's pregnant with her third child?
Brittany and Patrick already have that. I have no idea.
Peppa Pig.
Oh.
Peppa Pig is pregnant. There is a third baby on the way.
That is a trick question right there.
It is not a trick question.
That is an animated person. Bean. Not even. It's a pig. Right. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, Elvis. He beat you 3-0 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, man. No worries. My name is Elvis, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, my friend. Thank you. Thank you very much for playing. Coming up on Monday, $8,100. Let's go.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.